describe your life, though. Are you at the end of your rope and there's no rope left to tie anything in? This chapter, the whole of chapter 11, deals with the doubts of John the Baptist, the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, and the wickedness of the cities where Jesus had been preaching, like Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He had been surrounded by those who are wearied by their vain efforts of religion or their equally vain struggles against sin. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever feel a need for rest? When you go on holiday, if you had children, but you might remember the days when you did have, and it makes you more tired than before the holiday, doesn't it? They're in the back of the car and they're yapping away and you can't tell them to shut up and, oh. By the time you get there, and if it's a long way, like the other end of the country, then you're worn out and frazzled before you've unpacked your bags. And we are weary because we rush from one activity to another. We work long hours, fill our calendars with too many obligations. The fact that we need rest makes this invitation from Jesus more appealing. There is a kind of rest in salvation. And in Acts 4, verse 12, we read, "And there is salvation in no other, no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is salvation in no other. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yesterday I walked through Manchester and I saw this big tent right in the middle of Market Street, and it had "Come and see about Muhammad," and they had this huge gazebo and they were giving out leaflets, except nobody was manning the stall. And I just thought, how sad that is. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And we know that way. I was tempted to go and raid some of the leaflet, but I didn't. Some seek their salvation in religion, some in works, in what they do, some in self-righteousness. But every effort of man that rejects faith in Christ is doomed. For by grace we have been saved, through faith, and this is not our doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works. Notice the call of the Lord. "Come to me, all who are weary, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." To me, all means everyone. Maybe not just to them he was speaking to at the time, but for all time, to us. The word "labour" refers to those who are worn out by effort. Like I mentioned before, I'd soon get worn out if I held this for an hour. Instead, I'm going to drink some of it. A And we can get worn out by effort physically. Heavy laden, what does that mean? It means that those who are pressed down by a heavy weight. It could be a sin, or it could be referring to others who put things upon you. They do, don't they? I know they do at work. Where I work, first of all, I had 2.5 days at work, and then they said, oh, we're struggling. Can you help us out? Can you do 3 days? So I said, oh, all right then. So I did 3 days, and I do 3 days currently. And then they say, well, a couple of other people have left. Can we, do you think you could do a week instead? No. It's the quick answer to that one. And but people do burden you with things, and you have to learn not to be burdened by those things that aren't necessary. And it's not easy. So what's this rest that Jesus offers us? It's quietness, calm, and refreshment. Rest from your labours and attempts at self-righteousness. He promises to save fully. And in Revelation we read, salvation belongs to our God. In fact, we've sung a song about that, who sits on the throne. We're not going to now. We are given peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are given rest from our attempts to please God. And that's an important point, because we do want to please him, and yet he doesn't expect us to necessarily to bend over backwards. The Jews thought the yoke was, one, the law, and there were 660 odd of them. And Jesus condensed it to two. So that shows you what Jesus is like, what Jesus' rest is like. He is gentle. And we get the witness in our spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you know you're a child of God if you have that witness in your heart. So what's a yoke then? Well, it's the yellow bit, isn't it? No. Well, it is, but that's not the yoke I'm talking about. And the yoke used to connect the ox. And Jesus expects us to serve him in some way. We can't be fully satisfied under our own yoke, if you like. But we need to find satisfaction in what the Lord tells us what to do. Jesus says his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And each yoke was carved to fit exactly the oxen that it was with. And often they used younger oxen to work with an older oxen, so it could work the field, and so it could learn how to do it. Kind of like training on the job. Sometimes a yoke that doesn't fit can be that you're doing something for God that you're not really gifted for. And that can happen. And you get unnecessary pain from that. Does your yoke seem easy and the burden light in your life. If not, you need to come before him and ask him to show you. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. What does it mean? It means to humbly do his will and allow him to guide and direct our lives. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? The burdens others put on us are sometimes just too much. And we don't need to do them, but we accept them because we feel obliged. And Jews commonly used to have the idea that having a yoke is someone's obligation to God, like the yoke of the kingdom, law-giving, the commands, repentance and faith. But Jesus simplifies it and says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There are many kinds of burdens. There are physical and there are spiritual. The spiritual ones aren't as easy to see. The physical ones are because you feel physically tired. You know when you've done a day's work. Christine knows when she's done half a day's work. I'm sure she won't mind. But no. But she does work hard, actually. I came home yesterday just from watching a game of cricket, and I only saw 2 hours and because of the rain. And I was absolutely worn out and whacked. Oh. And she said, what do you mean you're tired? Oh, well, go to bed then. You're all right, you know. Leave me with all the work and the washing up and everything. So I did. Bless her. But Jesus reveals his character. He says, I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And it's an echo from Jeremiah 6, verse 16, which says, thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. When training a new animal, they yoked it to an older, stronger animal who bore the burden and guided the young one through the learning process. The demands are lighter in Jesus. So if you feel that your demands aren't lighter, that they're heavy, then something's wrong. It isn't his yoke. And or you aren't letting him bear it with you. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, it says, you shall not plough an ox and a donkey together. So in other words, you can have an imbalance, an unequal yoke. And Paul wrote about being unequally yoked to people. It's something to think about that. And sometimes it was often spoke of as in relation to marriage. And I read that John Calvin actually disagreed with that, and I'm inclined to agree with him. But it's a yoke that causes a big imbalance. The term yoke is also a metaphor for bondage or servitude. In Isaiah 58, verse 6, we read, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." I just want you to consider, one, if you're feeling the burden, if you're feeling that it isn't light, then something's wrong. Today, many churches mix their faith with unbelievers and take on the worldly beliefs and opinions and change their own theology to suit it, to compromise with the world. And we, as our church, and as a denomination, we mustn't do that. I feel strongly that we shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers, yoked with different ideologies and opinions, but we should stand with the Word of God. Shall we?